Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, September 4th. I hope everyone had a great Labor Day holiday and enjoyed some time off with your family and friends. And we got an NFL game this week. This is game week, week one of the NFL regular season. And we will talk about the upcoming game and the upcoming season all week here on this podcast. On today's show, I'm going to talk about the roster shakeup a bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about Ryan Tannehill. And I'm also going to talk about an article I saw on The Athletic. And as always, this podcast today is brought to you by The Athletic. Be sure to sign up for The Athletic and save 40% off. The link is up on our website, DolphinsTalk.com. And I will also have it pinned up on our Twitter account at Dolphins Talk. Save 40% off to sign up for The Athletic. Comes out to about $2.99 a month, you know, about the price of a cup of coffee. Or if you want to sign up month to month, you can sign up month to month as well. It's about $9.99. But if you sign up for the year, it comes out to about $2.99 a month. It's a great investment. And there's actually some big announcements from The Athletic today as they are expanding their coverage of South Florida sports. As we said on our podcast a few weeks back, they have hired Chris Perkins and the big O, Orlando Alzagari, to write about the Miami Dolphins at The Athletic. Today, they had some big announcements. They have also hired writer Shandell Richardson to cover the Miami Heat full-time for them. He's a great writer, came from the Sun Sentinel, an outstanding journalist. They have also hired Andre Fernandez to cover the Miami Marlins full-time, as well as Manny Navarro to write about the Miami Hurricanes. I know for you Hurricanes fans out there, it was a rough weekend. I mean, it was rough. But The Athletic now is sort of building up their South Florida, you know, journalists. And they've hired a great group here to cover the NFL and to cover South Florida sports. They got the Miami Dolphins, two people writing about them. They got the Hurricanes covered. They got the Heat. That's a big deal down there, I know, as well as the Miami Marlins. More to come as well. They also announced today, The Athletic, that Michael Lombardi has also been brought on along to write about the NFL in general with guys like Jay Glazer, Ross Tucker. And again, it's a great investment if you're a sports fan. Even if you're not fans of all of the teams in South Florida, maybe you're just a fan of the Miami Dolphins, you're still going to want to sign up for this site because they got reporters dedicated to each city and each team. If you're a Yankees fan, they got somebody covering the Yankees full-time. If you're a fan of the Golden State Warriors, they got people covering them full-time. If you're a fan of the Chicago Blackhawks, you get the picture. They are spreading. They're all over the place. This is the future of sports journalism. No ads, ad-free content, no pop-up ads, no autoplay videos and all that annoying stuff you see on other websites. So everyone, I encourage you, sign up for The Athletic. Like I said, it's about $2.99 a month. You can save 40% off right now. Don't even pay full price. Save 40% off. Go to our website, DolphinsTalk.com. The link's up at the top right-hand side of the website. Or you can also go to my Twitter account. I'll have it pinned at the top of my Twitter account. And use the link from Dolphins Talk and save 40%. Some other links out there, you can save 20% or 30%. Our deal with them is we can save you 40%. So you want to use our link, save as much as you can. It's almost half off, people. So sign up for The Athletic. The Miami Dolphins roster since Saturday, you know, it's been in flux. Essentially, the 53-man roster was set, and since Saturday, you know, they've made some minor moves. Nothing to get excited about, nothing to be upset about by any means. Like we said on the show Sunday, they signed quarterback Luke Falk off of waivers. He's on the team. He will be wearing number 4. And right now, the Miami Dolphins have 4 quarterbacks on the roster with Osweiler, Fales, Falk, and, of course, Ryan Tannehill. They've made some other moves since then. Sam Young, he was on the team. Then he was let go, and now Sam Young is back. So unlike last year, where they waited until after week one to sign Sam Young back, so his contract wasn't guaranteed for the entire season. It sounds like, and this is just a guess, no inside information. It sounds like after they let him go, that Sam Young probably got some interest, and another team was going to sign him. He let Miami know, and Miami said, uh-uh, you're coming back here, and they re-signed him immediately. So Sam Young is on the Miami Dolphins roster. On Sunday, the Miami Dolphins signed center guard Travis Swanson. Now, they've been trying to sign Travis Swanson for a few years. He's been with the Lions mainly. Very, very injury-prone. When he's healthy, he's okay. He would have been a serviceable backup center guard. And I say would have been because they signed him on Sunday, then, or they signed him on Monday, I believe, and on this morning, Tuesday morning, they let him go. So he wasn't even in Miami for 24 hours. Travis Swanson, here today, gone tomorrow. Literally, he was literally here one day, released 24 hours later. Maurice Smith, the safety, he was also let go over the weekend since the 53-man roster came out Saturday at 4. He's someone I hope they can try to bring back on the practice squad. I don't know, though, because he has looked very good in the preseason. The time he got last year, he looked pretty good as well. He was someone who I was very hopeful for to have a future in Miami. The problem is they are so deep at safety with Rashad Jones, Minkah Fitzpatrick, T.J. McDonald, Walt Akins because of his special teams play and going nowhere. There's four guys right there. And, you know, carrying a fifth safety, I guess they felt the need. They didn't have to. So Maurice Smith is gone. Hopefully, like I said, he won't get claimed and they can put him back on the practice squad. I guess the biggest news from today was the Miami Dolphins signed running back Brandon Bolden. The New England Patriots let him go, and he signed today with Miami. It's interesting. First off, as Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald pointed out, Brandon Bolden, he's here strictly for special teams. He is not here to play running back. And if you want proof of that, in 2016 with the Patriots, he had all of one carry for 4 yards and two receptions for 15 yards. So he was not even a part of their offense. Last year in New England for the Patriots, he had 13 carries for 67 yards and one reception for 7 yards. So the last 2 years in New England, Brandon Bolden has not been part of their offense. He hasn't been an offensive player. As a running back, you know, you got to go back to like 2015, really. So the Miami Dolphins signed him strictly for special teams. He's a hard worker and a great locker room guy per all the reports. So that's probably another, you know, reason they wanted him, another good guy to add to the locker room. It is a bit interesting that right now on September 4th, the Miami Dolphins on their roster have 5 running backs and 4 quarterbacks. That's a bit odd. And let me just say, quite frankly, I don't even care because the guys we're talking about here, like Sam Young, Mo Smith, Travis Swanson, Brandon Bolden, at the end of the day, mean literally nothing. Most of these guys, if not all of them, or at least the ones that are here, won't even be active on Sundays when they play the games. And the ones that are, like Sam Young, you hope never sees the field. And Brandon Bolden, you know, special teams guy only. He's not going to make much of an impact on if the team wins or loses. He'll be mainly running down on punts and kickoffs and all that good stuff. So the fact that right now in their roster they do have 5 running backs and 4 quarterbacks, you know, I saw some fans going, oh my God, who cares? Who cares? It means nothing. The Miami Dolphins are going to win and lose in 2018 based off of their starting 22 predominantly and Ryan Tannehill. That's what it comes down to. So not getting worked up over, you know, who's the 52nd and 53rd guy in the roster. It really does not matter. Is it odd that they're carrying 4 quarterbacks? Yes, I think it's very odd. Do I think this will continue much longer? No, I think one of these guys will be sent away soon. Which one? Probably fails, but don't know, don't care. Running back, I don't know. Because Armando also reported that they have to make another move today. I guess they're one guy over the roster limit. And they have to make another move to get under the roster to be at 53 men. I didn't see the report that they let out, that they let anyone else go at the time I am recording this, at least maybe. By the time many of you are listening to this, it would have already happened. But at the time I'm recording, they haven't let anyone go yet. So I think they do have to let someone go. Could it be someone like Sonoris Perry? Yeah, I guess it's possible. I don't know who it's going to be. And like I said, it's not even a huge deal. We're talking bottom of the roster, guys. Not a big deal at all. The next thing I want to talk about is this Sunday's game between the Miami Dolphins and Tennessee Titans. And look, we're going to get into the game as the week goes on. X and O stuff, matchups, who's got the edge here, who's got the edge there. But from a big picture perspective, I want to talk about sort of one topic today. And this upcoming Sunday, September 9th, this is a big day for Ryan Tannehill in his NFL career. In that, you know, it's his first game back since the December 2016 game against Arizona. And, you know, he has worked so hard to get back to this point to be back on the field as the starting Miami Dolphins quarterback. This is a big day in his career. Now, look, it's not Dan Marino 1994 coming back from the Achilles injury. It's not that. So don't get me wrong. He's not Dan Marino, obviously, on that level. But it's a big day for Ryan Tannehill. And I hope the fans, when he comes out in that field Sunday for the pregame warm-ups and all that stuff, give him a nice ovation. You know, don't be a jerk and start to boo him if you don't like him. I know this fan base is split probably 50-50 on Ryan Tannehill. Half you love him, half you hate him. I get it. And the half that hates him, don't be a jerk on Sunday. You know, give this guy a nice ovation. He has worked his fanny off to get back on the field in a meaningful Miami Dolphins game as a starting quarterback. And he deserves a lot of credit for working so hard like he has and getting back to where he is. And I think, you know, whether they win or lose on Sunday, who knows? I don't think they're going to win, but hopefully I'm wrong. But I think Tannehill, he deserves a nice ovation, and I hope the fan base gets behind him on Sunday and sort of shows him the respect he kind of deserves. It was a tough injury he had, and for up until that point, that kid took a beating for the Miami Dolphins. He played behind some bad offensive lines, and he got drilled week after week, game after game, year after year, and after every time he bounced back up and never complained. Never really pointed the finger at anybody, never whined about it, and there was one time he got hit and he didn't get back up. And, you know, I used to say on the podcast prior to that time, going back to 2016, it was bound to happen eventually, and it did. He got hit one time and he didn't bounce back up, but to get back to where he is today, or this upcoming Sunday, to run back on that field, I don't care about the preseason, that means nothing. In a regular season game, a meaningful NFL game, for the Miami Dolphins is a big deal. And I'm telling you, for those of you who will be in attendance, give the kid a nice ovation. Really, he deserves it. He's worked his fanny off. He's gotten back. And hopefully he picks up where he left off in 2016, because before the injury, he was playing really, really good. And we need him to be that guy he was in 2016 before the injury. And, you know, this season in 2018 is going to be sort of a telltale season for a lot of things with the Miami Dolphins. We will find out one way or another if Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback of the future. After these next 16 regular season games, and maybe more if they make the playoffs, God willing, we will know if he's the guy. And to me, if the Miami Dolphins this year win 8 or 9 games but miss the playoffs, you know, okay, that would obviously stink. But if we come away knowing, you know what, we missed the playoff, but it's not because of our quarterback. It's because we couldn't stop the run, or we dropped too many passes with our wide receivers, or we committed too many penalties. You know, that, look, it would not be great, but at least we know what we have at quarterback. And that's what the 2018 season is. In my book, whether we make the playoffs or not, the 2018 season, we got to come up with two answers. Is Ryan Tannehill the quarterback we want to continue to go forward with? And is Adam Gase a guy we want to sort of lock up long-term and sort of give the keys to the franchise too? And if we come out of this year with answers to those questions, whether yes or no, either way, I think that is sort of my take right now, first week of September, what I want to see coming out of the season. You know, if we go 7-9 and we still have the same questions about, you know, Tannehill and to a lesser extent head coach Adam Gase, this season was not a success in my book. If we win 8 or 9 games, but the offense plays well, and we know, hey, we lost games this year, but it's not because of Ryan Tannehill, you know, I'm okay with that. Because then we know that Tannehill's the guy we have to move forward with. We don't have to worry about having to draft a quarterback at the top of round one and all that stuff. So that is what I'm looking for. Look, in the NFL, the teams that win, the two most important positions on any NFL team is head coach and quarterback. There has to be a marriage there where they sort of succeed together or fail together. And you need your head coach and quarterback to be on the same page, and you need them to succeed together. We know head coach Adam Gase loves Ryan Tannehill. We know Ryan Tannehill, you know, in year one with Adam Gase played very, very well. And we know the marriage is there. Now we just need them to succeed together. And success can be judged on many levels. Yes, winning a lot of games and going to the playoffs is the easiest way to judge it. But if this offense, you know, plays well and the team still loses because, like I said, they couldn't stop the run, too many penalties, factors other than the quarterback, you know, well, it's not ideal. We at least have the questions answered. He's our coach. He's our quarterback. We just got to fix some other things. So in my book, that's what I'm looking for this season. And that's and like I said, this is a big day for Tannehill Sunday. He's worked his butt off to get back to where he is. And, you know, Tannehill gets ripped a lot. He gets ripped a lot in the national media. He gets ripped a lot from the quote-unquote NFL insiders and experts who say he's no good or he's just, you know, an ordinary quarterback, middle of the road. You got the Ryan Clarks of the world of ESPN who doesn't know, you know, his ass from his elbow saying, oh, who's Ryan Tannehill? He's terrible, blah, blah, blah. We get it. He has his detractors. He has his detractors in the Miami Dolphins fan base, people who are fans of the team, who just would almost want to see him fail just so they can say, see, I was right, he's no good. So he has his detractors who just will never believe in him no matter what he does. As I say, he could throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns and the Dolphins win, and certain people would be like, well, he should have threw for five. He missed that play back in the first quarter. It's it will never be good enough for some, and I get that. But he's our quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And if you're a fan of this team, a real fan of this team, it is in your best interest to see him play well. Because we are fans of the Miami Dolphins. We want to see the team win. And the better Ryan Tannehill does, the better this team will do. And like I said, this Sunday is a big day for him. It's not Marino 94, and I'm not saying it is. That was different. It was a whole different era. It was a different time. And Marino was a very special player. Tannehill's not in that level, and it's not that type of return. But it is a return of a quarterback who missed an entire season. And I'm very hopeful that for all of you fans out there listening to this in the South Florida area who are going to go to the game, like I said, give him a standing ovation. Cheer him on. Don't be a jerk as he runs out in the field for pregame warm-ups and boo him. I mean, what are you proving by that? I mean, at least wait till he makes a couple mistakes before you boo him. If you want to boo him, that's fine. Wait till he makes a couple mistakes. Don't do it in pregame warm-ups. Don't do it at the coin toss. No, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. Ryan Tannehill has worked very hard, and I can't wait to see him back on the field this Sunday in a real game. Don't care about the preseason. Don't care what I saw in the preseason. This Sunday, Ryan Tannehill's back, and I want to see, and I'm very happy that he's back, and I can't wait to see what he does. And for a storybook ending, hopefully he has a big game Sunday. I don't know if he will. Tennessee's a real good team. They're a really good team. They won a road playoff game last year, Tennessee. They're as good a team as there is in this league. They're not one of the best, but they're a solid NFL team, top to bottom. And it would be nice to see Ryan Tannehill come out against a good team at home in Miami and have a big day. Hopefully he does. And that's what I'm going to be watching for. That's what I'm going to be rooting for. You know, like it or not, like I said, he is the man for the Miami Dolphins right now as their starting quarterback. He is the face of the franchise. Whether you like it or not, and some of you I know don't like it, he is the face of the franchise, and this Sunday for him is a huge day. So I just wanted to say hopefully this Sunday we see the Ryan Tannehill from 2016 who was injured. We hope we see him back on the field playing well. And, you know, hopefully he plays well enough that he leads Miami to a win. But it should be exciting to see him back on the field Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about an article about Adam Gase I read and the Miami Dolphins penalty problems. And I thought it was very interesting, and I want to touch on a few things there. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
All right, we're back, and I want to talk about an article I read on The Athletic by Chris Perkins. And like I said at the top of the show, you can sign up for The Athletic for as little as $2.99 a month and save 40% off by using the link up at DolphinsTalk.com or on my Twitter account at DolphinsTalk. Chris Perkins wrote a great article today talking about Adam Gase and I'll just read you the title of the article. It sort of says it all. Adam Gase likes his team and loves its commitment to reducing penalties. And the long and short of the article is, by Chris Perkins, is last October, Adam Gase was fuming and was downright furious, saying, which he said to the press, guys have to actually take this stuff home and study it. They're not going to just learn it all in meetings. And, you know, that was sort of the jumping off point to the trade of Jay Ajayi, as Adam Gase was not happy that Jay Ajayi was sort of like the last one on the field for practice and the first one to leave after practice. He didn't put in the extra work and the extra time. And it wasn't just Jay Ajayi. There was other guys on the team who were doing similar things. They would show up, punch in, put in their, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, and head home and not put in the extra work and time. And last year, you know, this team for the Miami Dolphins was one of the most penalized teams in the league. Maybe the most. I can't remember off the top of my head. But if they weren't the most, they're like one of the top three most penalized teams in the league. And right now, Adam Gase is saying that this year's team is very serious about correcting its penalties, and he's very happy with the way they work and with the work they're putting in. He said on Sunday, Adam Gase said he likes this team. He likes how they work, and he likes how they practice. He likes that they're a real team. So, you know, all offseason we've been hearing about the culture change in Miami. Is it real? Does that equate to any real change? And right now Adam Gase thinks it will. And the numbers that Perkins sort of talks about in his article kind of back it up. Here's the numbers from Chris Perkins he cites in the article. Miami starters played 11 possessions during the first four preseason games. They were charged for 10 penalties for 74 yards. 11 possessions, they had 10 penalties for 74 yards. That's actually not that bad. And because the vast majority of the penalties in those games were committed by the backups or guys who are now even no longer on the team. And so that won't be an issue heading into the regular season. If you break down the penalties of those 10 penalties for 74 yards, four penalties were committed by the offense for 35 yards. Six penalties were committed by the defense for 39 yards. Again, that's not horrible numbers. The three of the four offensive penalties were for holding, and three of the six defensive penalties granted automatic first downs for the opponent. Again, obviously in a perfect world you want no penalties or less than that, but again, harmless numbers, nothing, you know, to go crazy about, and it seems like there's more accountability right now in Miami working on this. Chris Perkins also brings up the most troubling number, and arguably the only troubling number, is among the 10 penalties committed by the starters, four were in the red zone. Two on offense in the red zone, two on defense in the red zone, and a fifth penalty by the defense put the opponent in the red zone. So when you dig deep into the numbers, and this is the type of stuff you're going to get in The Athletic. You're not going to get, you know, we have a lot of great reporters who cover the Miami Dolphins in The Athletic. They're going to dig deep and give you good stuff like this. So out of the 10 penalties, you know, four were in the red zone, and there was a fifth penalty that put an opponent in the red zone. That's got to be worked on. The number of penalties overall isn't bad. It's when and where they're happening that is still a little bit of an issue, but it seems to be going in a much better trend than it was last year with the small sample size of the preseason. And some of the players were asked about this, and, you know, Xavier Howard and Danny Amendola were the two in particular who sort of spoke up on this topic. And they both said, the coaches have little to nothing to do with penalties. It really is an issue that the players have to fix, and players have to hold themselves accountable, and they have to hold their teammates accountable. Coaches, you know, they can make you run all the laps in the world and do push-ups here and all that stuff. At the end of the day, that's not going to stop a guy from committing penalties. Adam Gase went on to say, that's the best part about what we have going on right now in this locker room, that how the guys work, how they're practiced, that they're coming together as a team, and he likes the extra work they're putting in. Unlike, you know, last year's team, which did not put in the extra work. Not everybody, but there are some guys that didn't. And speaking to the players, Xavien Howard, when asked about this, goes, it's all on the players. Short and sweet. He said the coaches have nothing to do with it. It's all on the players. And they talked to Amendola. He goes, at the end of the day, players have to be accountable for their own actions. Again, they're putting this on themselves. They understand that the coaches, you know, they can punish them, they can stress it, they can yell at them all they want, reduce penalties, reduce penalties, reduce penalties. But the players, you know, have to really focus in and be, you know, their own, you know, they have to hold themselves accountable, and they have to be the ones to fix this problem. It's not something that you can teach a group of people, you know, don't commit penalties. Yeah, that's easy to say. But the players have to be in the right, use the right technique, be smart, know where they are on the field, know the down and distance, and not be stupid about things to commit, you know, some really bad penalties. And in the league this year, we've seen in the preseason, the rules in the NFL, I say this all the time about the NFL, there's too many goddamn rules. The reason you things like what's a catch, what's not a catch, don't hit a guy with the top of your helmet, don't lead with helmet, because they've made a game that should not be that complicated, overly complicated, and they put too much pressure on the referees. Now, overall, the referees are not the greatest in the world. Some of those guys are far too old to be out there running around with 24, 25, 26-year-old men and being able to keep up with what's going on. But they've overcomplicated the game and made it too hard for the referees. Even the best referees, you know, they've made the rules and infractions like part of the game. And that should not be a thing. Rules and penalties should not be part of the game. You should call the egregious ones, obviously. You should call the blatant ones, obviously. But overall, you know, there's just too many rules, and it's too complicated. And the fact that the league really does crack down on some of these ticky-tack, silly rules, as a team, you have to be, you know, well-versed in the rule book, and you have to know that these guys are out there, you know, dying to throw a flag. I mean, some of these referees, you watch these games, they're dying to throw a flag. I don't know why. If I was a referee, I would look not to throw one unless I had to. I wouldn't want to take the game out of the player's hands. I wouldn't want the spotlight on me as a referee. You just want to blend in the background. But some of these refs, you know, they are dying to find something wrong with a play, and they have no problem throwing the flag, you know, at ease. And the rules in the NFL, whether you like them or you don't like them, you know, there's a lot of them, and these guys are not afraid to throw the flags. So, you know, penalties is a huge deal. As a team, you know, if you commit too many penalties in the game, I don't care how good you are, you're not going to win. Very few teams can overcome 8-9 penalties in a game, especially ones that will give teams first downs, or especially ones in the red zone, which will take you out of possibly scoring a touchdown, and now you have to settle for a long field goal, even a short field goal. You know, everyone would rather have 6 or 7 points instead of 3. So, I mean, that's just simple math at the end of the day. So, you know, penalties is a huge deal. And the Miami Dolphins must be better in 2018 with their penalties than they were last year. From this article from Chris Perkins on The Athletic, it sounds like Adam Gase, as of right now, and of course this could change, we all know, but as of right now heading into the season, is happy with the work that the team is doing on helping reduce the penalties and stuff like that. And it does seem like, looking at, again, small sample size, only the preseason, that the starters, again, I don't care about the backups, the starters have reduced the penalties in the preseason to a number that's, you know, not awful. Not awful. Really, and Perkins is talking about 11 possessions in 4 preseason games. The starters, they didn't play in that final preseason game. That's really only over 3 preseason games. And, you know, 10 penalties over 3 games comes out to about, what, 3.5 a game, roughly? So that's not bad. So we'll see how it goes once the season starts. But penalties, that's another big thing this team has to improve on from last year to be successful in 2018. I think the improvements we need to... Look, last year, 2017, Miami won 6 games. To improve on that and take another step forward, you know, the biggest two things is obviously the play of the quarterback, obviously, which, you know, that should be improved by default, as Tannehill on his worst day is still better than Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. The other thing is penalties. Penalties have to be reduced. This is not a team who can shoot itself in the foot time and time again and overcome that. If this team shoots itself in the foot time and time again, they will lose games, period, end of story. They are not talented enough to overcome games where they get 9 penalties for 105 yards and all that stuff. They're not that good. They need to play clean football, you know, 3, 4, 5 penalties a game. It's going to happen. Nobody plays a perfect game, but that's where they need to be around each week. So hopefully this year, that's another area where the Miami Dolphins can clean up and improve on. Now, let's say if there's a third thing that they must improve on from last year, the offensive line just must be more consistent. The offensive line doesn't need to be the hogs of the Washington Redskins from the 1980s. Doesn't need to be that good. It just needs to be more consistent where Tannehill has a clean pocket and the running game, you know, is successful. Doesn't need to be the best offensive line in the league. Just needs to be consistently good, not get a lot of bad penalties, cutting back to that, and just, you know, be a solid unit, which we haven't had in many years in Miami. So compared to last year, to me, those are the three most important things. The quarterback play, penalties, and the offensive line play. If they can improve in those three areas in 2018 from where they were last year, this team is going to be just fine this season. So I just wanted to mention that. And again, you can read articles like this on the Miami Dolphins and on all and not pretty much every sport in South Florida with the Hurricanes, the Marlins, and the Heat. We know the NBA season's coming up soon. You're going to want the best coverage for the Heat at The Athletic. Sign up for it at DolphinsTalk.com. Save 40% off. 40%, people. So that's all I have for today. One more announcement I wanted to make is we have added 3 new writers to the DolphinsTalk.com staff. We've added 3 new people to our family. I want to give them a shout-out real quick. They are Anthony Saba, Melody Mackey, and Justin Bino. So check out their work up at DolphinsTalk.com. We're going to be seeing a lot of articles from them. We want to welcome them to our little DolphinsTalk.com family. And again, if you are interested in writing for DolphinsTalk.com and are serious inquiries only, email me at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. That's all for today's show. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Check out our Facebook page. I got links to it all up on the website at the bottom of every article. Follow us on Facebook. We're going to have some new stuff about to start there with the regular season starting up. What else am I forgetting? Oh, also check out the Facebook page. I am a Miami Dolphins fan. Facebook page run by the great Carlos Hernandez, friend of our website, longtime supporter of ours. He does a great job with his Facebook page. So if you're following our Facebook page at Dolphins Talk, also make sure you go to the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page and follow them as well. Great way to interact with other fans and talk with other Dolphins fans. You want to check that out. We're going to have shows the rest of the week. As the week goes on, we're going to have maybe a guest or two, as well as start to get in depth on the Tennessee Titans. We'll learn some about the Titans, talk about the matchups, what to look for, what not to look for, as we got a game this Sunday, folks, a real game, Miami and Tennessee. So everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.